This summer at the Culture Project in New York City, five South African actors are telling their true life stories about growing up under apartheid. The piece is called Amajuba, Like Doves We Rise. From New York, Trey Kay reports.
All my life, I've waited for the moment when the future would arrive. As a girl, I knew that someday the present would be the past. And I wanted the present to pass.
The five stories in the play Amajuba are intensely personal. But at the same time, they encompass the experience of millions of black South Africans living under the apartheid system, which officially ended in 1994. They tell of rural families impoverished and broken by a brutal migratory labor system, or the poisonous tension of youth in cramped townships.
We were like roaring young lions. We were like boiling. You wouldn't stop me, even if you tried by all means.
While 15-year-old Salo Chokwe gathered with rebellious young people in a township outside of Pretoria, far away in a rural village, Bongeka Bongwana, or Bongi as she's called, was literally eking an existence from the ground.
I can tell you we used to eat grass like cows, because it was sweet. You used to get full from grass. Obviously, the other kids, you would not even tell them that, okay, guys, there's no food at home, and blah, blah, but you would eat grass probably for lunch, and then probably for supper you would eat the wild spinach we used to cook it.
Each story in Amajuba is the actual experience of the person who tells it.
With Amajuba, it's the backbone, it's the integrity of the work, is that who you are seeing has lived these experiences.
Playwright and director Yael Farber is internationally known for creating powerful works about the South African experience. In 2000, a local arts council commissioned her to create a new play and provided her with five actors.
All I did was say to them, would they be willing to share their stories with me? And they said yes. It's testament to the fact that people have extraordinary stories to tell in South Africa. I didn't wade through 300 people and choose which stories would suit the agenda.
Over a six-week period, which Farber describes as grueling, she plied the actors with tough questions, focused on minute details of the most painful recollections. Like this one from cast member Salo Chokwe.
When I was a child, I was afraid of the dark. I hated putting the rubbish out at night. My uncle would ask me, what is it out there that you're afraid of? You must find out so that you can fight it. One night, he locked me out in the dark.
It was really hard work. It was like probing, you know, getting into someone's private life. We cried in the rehearsal room. We felt like very desperate. It wasn't fun.
Amajuba continues a tradition of South African theater, which began in the 1960s, in which writers and actors collaborate to produce a play. Athol Fugard worked this way when he made Sizwe Bonzi is Dead and The Island. So did the late Barney Simon in creating Born in the RSA and Wuzza Albert. These biographical workshop techniques spurred a uniquely potent brand of protest theater during the days of apartheid.
Actors were sent out into the streets. They would use tape recorders or they would write down their material and then edit this material into a play.
Adrian Sichel is a journalist who writes about South African theater. She says, though the methods are the same, there's an important difference between the plays created under apartheid and those from the post-apartheid era. Plays during apartheid focused on raising consciousness and giving voice to the voiceless. Post-apartheid plays, like Amajuba, she says, are in the spirit of the country's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, or TRC, and are meant to convey a message, even to some who are reluctant to hear it.
Whereas people were kind of saturated with the kind of coverage we got on radio, and people would have a knee-jerk reaction to reading and hearing about the TRC. When you see these experiences personalized so deeply in theater, it could change minds and hearts. It certainly has that kind of healing aspect to it.
Yael Farber says that she's experienced, in her fellow South Africans, ambivalence towards looking back at the devastation of apartheid. She symbolically and ritualistically addresses this by dressing Amajuba's stage with an assortment of enamel washing bowls. These bowls were common to each actor who grew up in places with no running water.
Growing up in the townships, washing was no simple matter. All that we had was that small onion bowl. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't reach around to clean my back. So I decided to forget what's behind me and concentrate on making my front look good.
During the course of the show, dusty sand is shoveled onto the stage. It creates a dry mist that harkens back to the arid dust of South Africa's townships. The dust forms a visible grime on the perspiring actors.
We cannot leave things in the dust without a decent burial, no matter how small. We all have to stand in the rain and wash away the pain. Like a huge grave, we have to dig and reclaim what was once forgotten or cast aside. And from the dust, like doves, we will rise.
Amma Juba, Like Doves We Rise, will be at the Culture Project in New York City through the end of August. And there are plans for a U.S. tour in 2007. For NPR News, I'm Trey Kay in New York.